right, here we go. Welcome to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the South Point. Let's go out to Denver, Colorado. Welcome back, James Salinas, back to the program. James, how are you?
Mike Pritchard, good to see you, my friend. How are you? How's things?
It's great. It's great. It's awesome. Had a little break in the weather from the heat. It's been cool in the mornings and at nights, but nothing like in Colorado, especially last weekend out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it's totally different style now. It's like 55, 60 degrees. This weekend is going to be a complete makeover from last week that we did with the Kansas City game, where it was basically felt like 0 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. 300 sunny days a year out there in Colorado. Love it, love it. Let's get to some news of the day. Tony La Russa will now be the manager of the White Sox. He was named their new manager. 2021 World Series odds are out, and the White Sox at 10-1 here. What do you think of this news about Tony La Russa becoming the manager of the White Sox?
Well, it's interesting, right? You're thinking about he's definitely old school. Been around for, I remember him as a kid with the White Sox back in the day. So, it's different. Well, baseball's different now. I think we saw that play out in the World Series the other day, where it's analytics versus the old school way of doing things and playing things by the new analytic book as opposed to the gut feel. I think we saw that the last series. We saw that with Dusty Baker at that series, the ALCS against the Rays, where he actually left Greinke in. The book said time to take him out. Analytics, these are the matchups, and then ultimately having him come back, he went with his gut feel. Then we saw Kevin Cash the other side of taking out Snell when he was really dealing and driving in that game, but yeah, according to his analytics book, said to take him out. So that's going to be an interesting contrast, because the White Sox, there are some veterans on that White Sox team, but there's also a lot of young players. It's going to be an interesting mix, but if anybody's word's going to carry weight in Major League Baseball, it's going to be Tony La Russa.
I think so, right? 76 years old, maybe out of touch with the youth enthusiasm there with the White Sox. I don't know, but it's baseball. If you're excited about baseball, then I think that can help the cause out there in that dugout, that clubhouse, too. I was talking to a friend of mine, James. He broadcast White Sox games in spring training, and he said that White Sox farm system is loaded. You got to remember, Fernando Tatis Jr. Was traded from that farm system out to San Diego.
Yeah, so, there's going to be plenty of talent there to work with. It's just going to be a matter of, how La Russa is. Can he adapt to? We're talking multiple generations now. He's 76 years old, and you're going to have players, these young millennials in their 20s that are used to a whole different communication style. I think will be interesting to see how that plays out. But, if he's coming back, then he knows what he's getting himself into. So, if anything, number one, I'll be rooting for La Russa. I've been a big fan of his since I was a kid a long time ago. So I'll be rooting for him for that perspective too. But I think, again, he's coming back. He knows what he's getting himself into. And I think La Russa should be able to adapt to today's environment, today's players, and today's game.
Yeah, I love it. He's, like you said, he's influential, and certainly the enthusiasm for the game will be helpful out there in Chicago. You said the old school. I'm going to say the older school for Tony La Russa. Thursday night football, Carolina and the Falcons. The Falcons on the road, second time around for both these teams within an division on a short week. We're going to try to get updated on the news about Christian McCaffrey as the show goes along. But right now, looking at the Panthers laying 1.5 at home against the Falcons. How do you see this game, James?
Yeah, well, I don't think McCaffrey's going to play tonight, so I don't think he's going to be coming off the injured list. But regardless whether he's coming out, I've seen the number moving down. I'm looking at numbers out here in Colorado, and I actually see it at 1.5. Actually, I see a 1 here at BetMGM. I favor the Panthers in this matchup. And maybe, Pritch, you can answer this better. You hear a lot of the cliche, it's hard to beat, especially within the division, it's hard to beat the same team twice in the season. But that would really, in my mind, account for a team actually competing and wanting to play. And I think we saw Atlanta again on Sunday. Same thing of all season long. Really, that matchup with the Lions came down to, in my mind, and I didn't play it, was my mind with that game was going to be whichever defense is on the field last is probably the one that's going to lose that game, and that's exactly what happened to Atlanta. Same old story. Can't hold the lead. Can't finish games. Now you're going to go on the road in a short week. Interim coach, interim GM, just a complete mess with that franchise. Going on the road to play a Carolina team that really handled them the first week They played back in week five. Carolina won that matchup and really were able to, I think with McCaffrey out, Mike Davis, he stepped in. They've been without McCaffrey, really, I think, since the first couple weeks in the season. So Davis has stepped in, played really well. He had a spectacular game against the Falcons, not only rushing the ball, but receiving the ball. He had close to 150 yards combined. So I think it's a great matchup for Carolina. I'm definitely on that side tonight.
You know, James, before we get to some of these props, which are very, very interesting in a matchup tonight, I just have a general question in regards to the spread, the line here. In week five, we saw the Panthers catching 2.5 on the road. And you just mentioned that they handled Atlanta Falcons 23-16. They're at home, and yet that line's going down. Just your thoughts on that situation, whereas just a few weeks later, that line is moving towards Atlanta here.
Well, maybe it's for the value of certain players. McCaffrey now, if he's announced that he's not going to play, people thinking this is a spot. Now there's a big player out. Julio Jones, who was not in that Week 5 matchup, he's most likely to play tonight. But I think here's a couple other players. We hear all the big names, right? Fantasy football drives, offense drives this sport. McCaffrey's a phenomenal player, hard to replace him. Julio Jones, obviously Matt Ryan's number one target, really has struggled without him on the field, and he's been week to week this entire season. So maybe that's part of it to me. But there's some other, a couple other players, I think, from the defensive side for Carolina that are going to be more healthy than they were in that game five. In particular, Dante Jackson. He's really their number one corner now. Once James Bradbury went to New York this year, Jackson had to step into that role. Now, he's been dealing with a toe injury most of the season. And in that matchup, he played one snap, re-aggravated his toe injury, and was out of the game. So they really had to kind of play a lot more zone and kind of protect that young secondary. It's an incredibly young secondary in Carolina, a young defense as it is.
Yeah.
But he's going to be back. He played the majority of the snaps last week against the Saints. So he's getting back. He's getting healthy, as well as Burns. Burns is their best pass rusher. He's their best defensive lineman. And he was injured in that second quarter of that game. He's going to be back healthy and full strength tonight, too. So I'm not really sure. Sometimes I understand why lines are moving the way they are. This one I don't understand. Maybe it's the fact that you can't, you know, it's difficult to beat the same team twice in the season. Pritch, from a player's perspective, where's the validity to that? Is that really something, especially, I get division games, teams know each other, but in this case with the Falcons, really haven't played well all season. And in this case, I don't know how competitive they're going to be anymore. Does that really carry any weight in this matchup?
Well, I don't know. I see the other side of it, James. I go on the road and I defeat Atlanta and Atlanta, we're a young team. We got a new coach. We got things going in a positive direction for our franchise right now. Now I'm at home. I think I would feel more comfortable and certainly more confident if I was a Carolina Panther right now, let alone think that, okay, now short week, I'm going to buy into those excuses. Like, we're going to be underprepared. I think the familiarity will help out. We just have to go out there and execute. And that's purely from a Carolina Panthers perspective, being on that team from a player standpoint too, James. So I would think that the Carolina Panthers would be a little bit more confident in this matchup.
Well, and you said the key word too, preparation. It's a short week to prepare, and I think that's what it's that. They lost their coach. He got fired really due to not being able to finish games. And a lot of that comes down to preparation. How do you prepare during the week for all the different scenarios that play out during a game? Now you've had a short week. They still, when we're talking about the Falcons, it's just the team there's so many issues going on in that locker room, in that front office with that franchise. A lot of uncertainty of what's going to happen with certain players. Will there be any trades for that matter? We'll see as far as that goes. But ultimately, what is the future hold for those players within that team? So feeling like all these different things swirling around that are going to be distractions, on top of the fact they haven't looked very prepared all season, interim coach this way, again, kind of dumped the game last week against the Lions, and now you have a very short week to prepare. And I think from the Carolina standpoint, I think that's what Matt Rhule has done. They've been very prepared. I went back and watched that week five matchup, Pritch, and they had the lead. The first drive, Atlanta went down and scored 7. Very scripted plays, 80-yard drive. They scored 7 points and really never did anything offensively again. And then as Carolina got themselves into it, made some adjustments defensively, and then offensively was able to really work Mike Davis both in the running game and the passing game, dominating the ball, especially in that fourth quarter with the lead. And one of the real little subtle things, I think, to look at, but how do teams manage the clock? And I think they managed the clock very well from an offensive standpoint for the Panthers, watching just as they have the lead and they're driving the ball in the middle of the fourth quarter, not snapping the football with 12, 13, 15 seconds on the play clock, letting that play clock run all the way down to about 1, 2, 3 seconds, and then snapping the ball. I think they do that a number of plays. That kind of tells me that they're prepared offensively, understanding the game situation, understanding how to manage the clock, and ultimately they only won by 7, but they had dominated that game in that second half.
Yeah, I think Matt Rhule has surprised a lot of people. I mean, that's a tough job to, one, establish credibility coming from college, and then, two, get the guys to buy in the way that they have. I think it's extraordinary right now what he's doing. And certainly, like you mentioned, the game management, the coaching aspect of it, too, has been off the charts for them as well. They have a general. They have a captain, whereas, you know, Atlanta, they don't have a general or a captain. They have a bunch of lieutenants out there. And so I'd be curious to see how they're going to manage the game and certainly coach up the players for the Falcons' point of view. Let's get to some of these props, which would be very interesting. James, the passing yards, Teddy Bridgewater, 283.5, Matt Ryan, 280.5 in this game. I heard earlier in the week that there could be weather concerns, but I don't know if that's going to play out tonight that way.
Yeah, it might be some rain. I don't think it's going to be anything too significant. But always weather, definitely something to look into. I know we're going to break down some other games this week. Weather is definitely going to be a factor in a number of games on Sunday. One of the props I'm looking at, though, is, again, now if we're confirming that McCaffrey's not going to play, that means more touches for Mike Davis. Mm-hmm. And I think Mike Davis, I'm looking at the rushing yards. He's only looking up here at BetMGM. It's 59.5, just juiced to $1.12. So just 12 cents on that. I lean towards the over with Mike Davis being able to run the football. Last week didn't get a lot of touches. So if you just look statistically, like, well, Mike Davis didn't have a great game last week, but the biggest problem for the Panthers last week is they couldn't get off the field. They only had 43 offensive plays as an offensive unit for the Panthers collectively because their defense couldn't get off the field. That's probably the biggest concern for me for Carolina. It's a very young defense, and in that game against New Orleans, New Orleans was 12 out of 14 on third down, so they sustained drive. They had 67 plays compared to the 43 for the Panthers, and really dominated from the time of possession as well. But this is going to be Atlanta. This is not New Orleans, who's much more, obviously they're very cohesive and much more efficient in their passing game and the run game for that matter, and was able to take advantage of some of the secondary for Carolina in that matchup. So I think Carolina's going to be able to control the football today. They're going to have more plays, obviously, and I'd look for a bigger game out of Mike Davis being a part of the running attack tonight.
Okay, on the other side, Gurley, I think, is at 63.5. Maybe some revenge yards for not stopping himself from the end zone a week ago. And a short week, I would think Atlanta might rely on Gurley a little bit more in this game.
Maybe. I think that's the problem with Carolina. It's just so young up front. Mm-hmm. Brian Burns coming back is going to help them being healthy. But I think offensively, maybe Julio Jones, Matt Ryan's going to want to throw the ball to it. I mean, that's obviously his number one receiver, and him coming back, not being there before, not in that game. It was really a struggle for Matt Ryan. I've watched him being in the pocket and still seeing ghosts in that pocket where really there wasn't much of a pass rush. That's the concern for me, too, with Carolina. Don't generate a whole lot of pass rush. So there is going to be some opportunities to continue to throw the ball. And if that's the case, I think there might be more of a connection between Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I don't know how many touches we're going to see for the running game for Atlanta. So in that case, it might be leaning under for that prop.
Okay, yeah, Julio Jones, 5.5 receptions, Ridley, 5.5, DJ Moore, 5.5. They're all 5.5. Robbie Anderson having a sneaky good year this year for Carolina. Receptions, 5.5. Interesting numbers there. Anderson, from a yard standpoint, 73.5, Moore, 67.5, Ridley, 72.5, Jones, 70.5. You know, you think about some of these short passes, the slip screens as well on a short week. I could see Matt Ryan trying to hook up with the receivers that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just don't know how many touches they're going to want to run the football. I mean, where are they going? They're going nowhere fast. It's not Atlanta's not trying to get themselves back and have any delusions, or they shouldn't be anyway, about thinking that they're going to be competing for a playoff spot. Right now, they're going to go back to what they know best, and I think that's they're relying on Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, as well as the other receivers throwing the football tonight. So if anything, I think it's going to be more of a passing game, and that's where, I mean, there's a number of weaknesses for that Carolina defense. It's a very young defense, but as in particular in the secondary and at corner for sure.
Yeah, we'll get back to more of the action in Thursday night football. We're going to have Elena Getzelberg. She covers the Panthers out there for the Charlotte Observer. She's going to be on the show a little bit later, but certainly interested in that game as well. With college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID and open an account to start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. The National Football League is not the only league with Thursday night football. We have college games on Thursday night football as well. James and I talk about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, college football, Thursday night football. Interesting matchups, South Alabama versus Georgia Southern. I'm going to lean on you for your expertise here. I'm not too familiar with South Alabama this year, and certainly college football. I'm still trying to catch up with the Big Ten and looking forward to the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. And but on this matchup, South Alabama versus Georgia Southern, Southern laying 3.5 at home.
Yeah, I see. I think it opened at 5, and the line's coming down towards money on the dog, obviously, if we're looking at 3.5, kind of across the board out here in Colorado. I think with this matchup, it's, you know, this was for Georgia Southern, it was a big game last week playing Coastal Carolina, and it was a tight game early, and then the second half, they couldn't move the football. They're really a running, obviously, they're going to line up and pound the football. That's their bread and butter, is running the rock. How do they respond after that loss? They had an opportunity, weren't able to sustain it, and then second half really, really just got dominated. So trying to get that power running game again, I mean, that's their rushing attack is where they need to be with this football game. I'm looking at the total, too, kind of spiking up up here. I mean, South Alabama, it's a little more, definitely more balance on offense when it comes to throwing the football, but they're going to rely on the running game, too. So I think from this perspective for both these teams, ESPN game for them. They're going to be excited as you know, smaller schools to be on the national stage tonight when we're talking about ESPN in prime time. So if anything, I might be leaning towards the under just based on the fact that I know that both teams are going to be more run heavy, obviously, especially for Georgia Southern than they are throwing the football. So I'm not going to take a position on the side, but if anything, it might be looking at the total in this game going under because of those running games.
Okay, yeah, we have a total of 52 out here in Vegas. Okay, Colorado State versus Fresno State. Now, I am familiar with this matchup. I used to call games in the Mountain West Conference. I know both programs. When you think about CSU, Adazio, he's starting up anew his debut because of COVID and because their game against New Mexico was canceled. Fresno State has a game under their belt. DeBoer is trying to get it started out there with the Bulldogs. How do you see this game? Colorado State, the favorite on the road, -2.5.
Yeah, if anything, I think I'd lean towards Colorado State, but I think that's the challenge, right, mm-hmm. Pritch? This is their first game. It's nearly November here. It's October 29th, and you've got Colorado State playing its first game and Fresno just coming off playing its second game. So a lot of things where I think there was some off-the-field issues with Colorado State about practices and also some racial tension going on there, and there's some racial tension going on that campus. I can speak to that as far as there's just some issues with student bodies going there, too. So just a lot of different things have been going on off the field, and as well as we know that the fact that they haven't been able to practice a whole lot, haven't been able to play a game yet. I'll tread lightly with this game. Like I said, Colorado State should be able to throw the football they've got a number of receivers that they can throw the football to, so I think that's the strength of their team is slinging the ball. I know Warren Jackson did opt out to prepare for the NFL draft, but aside from that, O'Brien, he got a number of games last year. Last year, he threw for over 300 yards against his Fresno's defense. So that's the way I would lean here, maybe lean towards that total. Looking at that total, though, I think that's the struggle where just looking one game sample size with Fresno State last week, weren't really able to throw the ball very well. I know Washington transfer Jake Hayner there is taking over. It was his first start last week, but had three interceptions against a Hawaii team that's not traditionally known as a great defensive juggernaut. So not off to a good start for Fresno State either. Interesting matchup just to see from the Colorado State side now that you've got a new coach coming in. A lot of things that needed to get cleaned up within that program. Definitely a work in progress. So not sure where to go with the total with this matchup, but if anything, if there's a lean, I'm going to lean towards the Colorado State side.
Yeah, I wonder about the execution from the Rams there, and then also the trust. What you highlighted and what you just talked about is so true with that program. People maybe dropping a dime on some of the administration in terms of COVID protocols, or the guys are not following COVID protocols. So I wonder if there's a trust issue as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as a new coach coming in, it's a challenge. 2020, I think, Pritch, is a challenge for everybody, let alone a new coach having to come in and deal with some of the off-field issues that are going on there. What's going on with what are the expectations of, having these off-site practices and folks not, players not buying into that, not wanting to be a part of that. A lot of issues there. That's what I mean. You're trying to find a game. We really don't know what to expect out of the Rams outside of they do have the ability to throw the football.
Intel for me, James. I'm going to be watching this game. Just curious about how the Rams are going to debut their season here in 2020. Up next, we're going to go out to Carolina. Elena Gutzenberg, she's going to join the program to help us out with the Carolina Panthers. Maybe update us about Christian McCaffrey as well. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Falcons versus Panthers game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Falcons versus Panthers game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, and we have Elena Gutzenberg from the Charlotte Observer. Elena, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time today. We're just trying to get some information here about the game tonight, news and notes. My first question to you, though, what I'm curious about is how Matt Rhule has been able to establish that credibility in that locker room, coming from college into a locker room with a bunch of professional athletes. I was just curious about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, Matt Rhule is someone who, when he's establishing how he wants this team to be run, it's on all parts. So he kind of just took over the entire organization and implemented it the way he wanted to. And, I mean, I think players are buying in because Matt Rhule, you can tell if you listen to him talk once, he believes what he's saying. And I think that really comes across to the players. And now that I think they've seen that it's working, especially for some of these younger guys, they're just buying in quickly. And, you know, I think this team is all in on what Matt Rhule's been preaching this season.
Hi, Elena. James Salinas out here in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for joining us for a few minutes today. So speaking of buying in, what does that look like? I've talked about the defense a little bit for the Carolina Panthers. Incredibly young defense, a lot of draft picks playing out there, high draft picks, but young players having to play. And I think what I've noticed the last few weeks, it's been a struggle for them on third down, in particular last week playing the Saints, just couldn't get off the field on third down. So, but I know in this matchup now, we're going to have Dante Jackson back. I think Julio Jones is going to be back playing tonight as well. So I'm wondering, Dante Jackson being able to come back, what kind of impact is he going to make for that secondary to maybe allow that defense to be a little more aggressive, to push Matt Ryan on third down and maybe get off the field a little more than they have lately?
Yeah, they went, like you just said, they went 12 of 14. The Saints converted 12 of their 14 third downs last week, which is just a shocking number every time I hear it. But yeah, exactly. Dante Jackson, Matt Rhule said that he's pretty much healthy now. He's been dealing with a toe injury for almost the entire season, but he's coming back to that. And that is going to be, they didn't play Julio Jones when they met earlier this season in week 5. He was out with that hamstring injury. So that is going to be kind of one of the matchups to watch. The cornerback situation is a little bit not great. They released Eli Apple earlier this week, and then really one of their better corners and pickups of the offseason was Rasul Douglas, who's on the COVID list. So this is going to be a big game for Dante Jackson. They, like you said, they need him to step up. He's been up and down throughout his career, but you know, I think he's kind of, you know, been showing improvement this year, and they have a lot of confidence in him. But really, he's going to be opposite of rookie Troy Pride on the other side. So this is a big game for Dante Jackson. And I'm not sure I'm convinced he can necessarily live up to covering Julio Jones for the entire game, but it's going to be a matchup to watch for sure.
Elena Getzenberg from the Charlotte Observer is on Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas. Elena, Christian McCaffrey, okay, he's been activated from IR, but yet is he going to be available for this game tonight?
He is not. No Christian McCaffrey tonight. Mike Davis will start for his sixth straight game. They're not going to bring Christian back until he's 101% ready to go. So more Mike Davis tonight, but I would expect Christian to play next week against the Chiefs.
So, Elena, speaking of the offense, Mike Davis had a tremendous game against Atlanta back in week 5, nearly 150 yards, both receiving the ball and rushing the ball. So, terrific game. And he's really stepped in and picked up a lot of slack, where I think when McCaffrey went down, feeling like, well, who's going to take that over? So, Mike Davis has done a tremendous job, really runs with a lot of hunger is how I see him looking at running the football back there. But it always starts on the offensive line. So, looking at this offensive line for Carolina, there's a couple folks that are questionable. We're talking about Russell Okung on the left side and also mm-hmm. John Miller at the guard position. Do you have any update with their status for this matchup tonight?
Yeah, I don't expect Russell Okung to play today. And so he's doubtful for the game. He had injured his calf last week. So I don't expect him to play on the left side. So it's going to be Greg Little, the second-year left tackle, who looked a lot better this year than last year, if we're being honest. And I think he'll be up to the task. It's not Russell, but I think Greg Little will do okay. And then John Miller, I think that injury, he fully practiced this week mostly. So I think he'll be a go, but he was also inactive last week, and that was a little bit of a surprise. So the offensive line is a little bit up and down, but so far, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was only sacked once last week, and it was at the last play of the game pretty much. So overall the offensive line has been playing well, and even with those backups in, they've looked okay. Greg Little played a ton of the Saints game. But it's definitely been, I mean, part of my game success has been that offensive line. I mean, Taylor Mullen, the right tackle, is playing very well. He's someone to watch. But Mike Davis, I mean, he leads the league in broken tackles still, I believe. So he's kind of doing it on his own. But even with those offensive line, probably without Russell tonight, I think they'll still be up to the task. You know, Greg Little has, you know, been playing really well so far.
Elena, looking forward to a great game tonight. Any weather updates you can give us? Earlier in the week, we heard that there could be some weather rolling in.
Yes, I mean, this morning here was crazy. It was very windy and rainy. But right now I'm looking outside. It is sunny, a few clouds in the sky, and I think they're expecting some wind tonight. So I think that's going to be the biggest factor, less than rain. You know, may have seen some kicks going in the wrong direction.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Elena Gutzenberg from the Charlotte Observer. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. James, when you think about the information from Elena right there with the wind, does that affect any prop bets that you might be interested in?
No, I think if anything, I didn't expect Russell Okung to play, but as far as John Miller goes, it's interesting, not only from the right guard perspective, she's talking about Taylor Morton, so how well he's played. I still like the prop, and we're talking Mike Davis running the football. I think they're going to want to try to control the clock. We know they've had some issues on the defensive side. It's a very young defense, and in particular, young secondary for Carolina. They don't generate a lot of pass rush, so looking to still control the ball, best defense is your offense maintaining possession of the ball, run the football, run the clock.
Right. I didn't know that about Eli Apple. We just found that out. At least I did. I guess I'm late to the party in terms of him getting released there by the Carolina Panthers. Up next, as betting across America continues, it's Tua time in Miami. From a historical perspective, some information that we need to give you right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, has great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free all week long on VSiN.com. Start with Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern and get our entire 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs for free 24/7 on VSiN.com. Also, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the Daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread Weekly Betting Guide. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, Tua time out there in Miami. Real quick, is it too late for him to get into the race for Rookie of the Year? Justin Herbert just won Rookie of the Month, I believe. He's sitting at minus 159. Burrow at plus 242. Is that 10 to 1?
I mean, you want to fire and take a shot. I mean, ultimately, I think he's going to have to lead them to a playoff spot to at this point because he's so far behind. You know, six games in, and now he's only got a handful, you know, 10 games left to work with. And I think he'd have to make a spectacular impression for that team, as not only from an offensive standpoint, but from a winning standpoint, too. And I know we're looking at the top of the leaderboard here as far as looking at Justin Herbert and Burrow. Like, they're not expected to win, but I guess that's kind of my dilemma with Tua coming in at this point in the season. Yeah, they gave him the bye week to get some practice time and prepare, but ultimately more so from a standpoint of the team as a whole, where were they, how are they going to compete? I mean, they were, especially now we're seeing all the issues that are going on in New England and with Miami feeling like, all right, we're a 500 ball club now. We've been playing well. We've been winning games with Fitzpatrick, and now we're going to, with a veteran quarterback, and now we're going to go to, we know it's the future here, but kind of, well, was this the right move to make with a locker room that's feeling like maybe we're in a place where we could compete for potentially making the playoffs and compete in this division to, all right, well, I guess we're clearly in rebuild mode now. Pritch, as a player, what kind of message does that send to those, to the locker room with folks feeling like they were competing for a potential spot in the playoffs?
A mixed one. Justin Herbert, for instance, out in, with the Chargers, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you draft Justin Herbert, you're just waiting for him to take over. I think the way that Fitzpatrick started the season as a player, as a vet, I don't know if I'd be waiting for Tua to take over. I think, well, okay, wait a minute. We're 3-3. We got a chance to win this division, at least be more competitive. Why not just stick with the hot hand? Why not just stick with Fitzpatrick? Unless Tua is lighting it up. And talking to some people, apparently he's been lighting it up in practice, and he's impressed a lot of people, including vets, including the front office, including the ownership. And I think that's why they want to take a look at him. Not only saying that he's ready to go, but thinking that he's going to be a better quarterback than Fitzpatrick.
Well, and that's why you draft him as high as you did, because you want him to be better. You expect him to be better than Fitzpatrick. But as far as the player standpoint, feeling like, all right, well, now there's pressure on Tua to have to step up. You look good in practice, but let's see it on game day. And we get to find out Sunday. And as far as the Rams go, you know, you talked about the veterans. There's not a whole lot of veterans, especially on the offensive side when it comes to the Dolphins. So team's clearly in rebuild mode.
Right.
But you get to play a team like the Rams with their pass rush, in particular with Donald coming up the mid, you know, being able to apply pressure and just dominate through all the double teams that he gets week in and week out. That's a good challenge to begin with. We know that Tua is mobile and he can get himself outside the pocket. But yeah, practice is one thing. Let's see it perform on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, he's mobile in college. I mean, mobile in college is different than being mobile in the National Football League, and coming off that that significant injury too. So thoughts on this game though? The Rams on a short week going across country again. I believe Miami's catching 3.5 here at home. Your thoughts on the travel situation for the Rams, short week, and then certainly facing a new quarterback?
Yeah, that's the scheduling pieces are tough, and that is a long travel. And what does that look like going to Miami? It's not your typical go to Miami and hit South Beach like some teams normally would on that Saturday. But being mindful of that. But the Rams do have the bye week the following week before they get back into division play. I'm not really sure where to go with this, because that's the big question mark, Pritch, right? Is what is Tua going to look like? I would suspect that as a rookie, you know, I'm not interested to hear, you know, they can say all they want in practice. How many times do we hear coaches say, well, we had a good week in practice, and then they get blown out that Sunday? So yeah, everything looks good in practice, but I just don't know. That's a big question mark there. I'm rooting for the kid. I'm glad he was able to get himself healthy, and there was obviously huge concerns. I think everybody liked the kid from that standpoint and was concerned about his health and was he ever going to be able to play in the NFL, and now we'll get to find out this Sunday. So I think from a fan's perspective, rooting for him, mm-hmm. from a betting perspective, saying that it's going to be 3.5. You know, it's not all just it's the Rams have been, or as far as the Dolphins go, you know, it's been up and down for them. They've beaten the teams that they probably should beat, and you know, they've been competitive, but they've also lost some games where you kind of looked at it like, yeah, they didn't give a great effort, because ultimately there's some issues on that roster. And I think starting with that offensive line, it's not a strong offensive line for Miami. So as a rookie coming in, that makes it even more difficult when you know that your offensive line isn't that great.
Yeah, more reasons why you make the switch now during a bye week. And I say a bye week because Miami's bye week was week 11. It got switched up because of COVID. So during a bye week, okay, if you want to make the switch, this is the time because you have that extra practice time. So, for instance, your right tackle is now your left tackle. So Jesse Davis, I don't know if you're ready for that, you know, and normally you're right tackle. Okay, I'm on the front side of a quarterback, but now I'm the blind side of a quarterback, and your left tackle becomes your right tackle here. And you talked about Aaron Donald. What are the Rams going to do switching him around to try to get him matched up on a particular player up front that might be a weak link up there trying to protect Tua? So you're going to rely on the running game too. From an offensive coordinator standpoint, your playbook is going to switch over. You're going to have to call plays for a left-handed quarterback now. And just to put it in perspective, left-handed quarterbacks in the National Football League, when you think of these guys, because there's not that many of them, and certainly ones that have been in the league, they didn't last very long. But the ones that did, they were standouts. Boomer Esiason, Steve Young, Mark Brunell, Ken Stabler, Michael Vick. A lot of those guys went to Super Bowls and conference championships and then certainly Hall of Fames. I don't know if Tua's that yet, but if the case is that he's a good quarterback and we need to see him now, he needs to start out his career in the right way and certainly help out that offense.
Well, the snake is he's not going to be, at least not off the field. So I look at that list. I love that list. Obviously, Steve Young is a spectacular player, but I was a big fan of the snake growing up as a kid. So, but getting back to really what does that mean from a left-handed perspective, I'm more so thinking about where's the Rams' mindset coming into this game. Coming off, it is a short week. You won on Monday Night Football. Now you're coming out. You're playing a non-conference game. Another week of travel. The Rams have done a lot of travel these first first few weeks of the season. They've number of trips out east. So this is, again, a number of trip. Now you're going down to the southeast. Eventually, how does that catch up to you, Pritch, from a player's perspective of all of that travel? Because they probably traveled more miles than anybody so far in for the first half of the season. But then also as a defensive player, yeah, there's a lot of hype about a rookie. Does that kind of heighten their senses from a defensive standpoint and a competitive standpoint for players saying, look, we are not going to let this rookie, we're going to welcome the rookie to the NFL. We are not going to let this young player put us on the highlight reel come Sunday night.
Absolutely. I think you want to get after it. I think you think that you can get more sacks, more pressures on a quarterback, more hits on a quarterback. Certainly you're going to try to intimidate the young fella too. I mean, all that's going to be a part of it, but the travel is extensive. I mean, you're talking about the Rams from LA all the way out to Miami. That is a trip right there, James Salinas. And they've already traveled up to Buffalo. I mean, they've had a lot of trips across country already. So they could be fatigued a little bit. But then on the other side for Tua, the extra practice for the receivers. For instance, we were talking about this with JJ, our producer, in regards to the spin of the ball and as a receiver, how that's going to be different. So if I'm on the right side of Tua, that ball is going to fade away from me, whereas typically it fades into me from a right-handed quarterback. And then on the left side, okay, that ball is going to fade into me because of his rotation on the ball. And certainly, normally, I'm ready for that ball to kind of tail away from me from a right-handed quarterback. So just getting used to that, too, during the extra week of preparation, I wonder how that's going to play out on game day.
Well, you don't get to, you can practice and go through all the reps, but you can't simulate the game speed, and that's what they're going to find out come Sunday, right? It's totally different come game speed, especially for Tua as the young quarterback. And yeah, this one is still, it's a tough call for me here. I really favor the Rams, but I just don't like all the travel. This is going to be their fourth trip across country. The first three weeks, they had to go to Philly, then back, then out to Buffalo. Then the following 2 weeks later, they went out to Washington, then traveled to San Francisco. Now you're traveling again to Miami. So a lot of road games, a lot of long trips from the road. So I think that's where probably the biggest piece for me, knowing that they have the bye on deck, how much effort do they really put on? Are they looking towards that bye? I think in this case, because it is Tua, I feel like there's going to be that competitive pride as that defensive side that's going to be like we talked about, Pritch, we are not going to let this young player show us up on highlights come Sunday night.
Yeah, I look for that too. That total is at 46. That defense was pretty stout too Monday night against Chicago.
Well, but maybe, or how much of that was also due to Chicago just being completely inept? I mean, Chicago's offensive line is terrible. That offense, they can't run the football, so it all falls on Foles. There's some issues going on with when it comes to the play calling and Foles knowing that these plays coming in are not going to work. I'm not going to have time to throw. So I think offensively for the Bears, there's a lot of issues there. Now, definitely more upside for Miami. There's more speed at the wideout position, but the offensive line, again, not a good offensive line. So maybe that play calling is going to be a little more conservative. Chan Gailey back there calling the plays.
Right.
Maybe it's going to be a more conservative approach to the offense. You don't want to just have them stand back there like they've done to Burrow in Cincinnati and having to sling the ball, step back 45, 50 times. I think it'd be more conservative game plan approach from Miami early in this game.
Yeah, looking forward to that matchup. Chan Gailey, did he coach Slash? I want to say he did. Cordell Stewart in Pittsburgh?
At this point, I think Chan Gailey is like 73 years old. He might have coached anybody that's played since like 1960.
Good point. Hour number two, some good divisional races shaping up. In hour number two, we're going to dissect all that and more right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.